Strauss finally had Oppenheimer exactly where he wanted him.
Yet Oppie seems to have reacted calmly to the news, politely asking all the right questions, trying to explore his options.
35 minutes after entering Strauss's office, Oppenheimer rose to leave, telling Strauss that he was going to consult with Herb Marx. Strauss offered him the use of his chauffeur-driven Cadillac, and Oppenheimer, distraught, outward appearances to the contrary, foolishly accepted.
But instead of going to Marx's office, he directed the driver to the law offices of Joe Volpe, the former counsel to the AEC who, together with Marx, had given him legal advice during the Weinberg trial. Soon afterwards, Marx joined them, and the three men spent an hour weighing Robert's options. A hidden microphone recorded their deliberations.
Anticipating that Oppenheimer would consult with Volpe, and unconcerned about violating the legal sanctity of client-lawyer privilege, Strauss had arranged in advance for Volpe's office to be bugged. The hidden microphones in Volpe's office allowed Strauss, through the transcripts provided to him, to monitor the discussion as to whether Oppenheimer ought to terminate his consulting contract or fight the charges in a formal hearing.
Oppie was clearly undecided and anguished. Late that afternoon, Anne Wilson Marx came by and drove her husband and Robert back to their Georgetown home. On the way, Oppenheimer said, "I can't believe what is happening to me." That evening, Robert took the train back to Princeton to consult with Kitty.
Strauss had expected Oppenheimer's decision that evening, and when the next morning he still hadn't heard from him, he ordered Nichols to phone Oppenheimer at noon that day.
Oppenheimer said he needed more time to make up his mind. Nichols brusquely replied that he could not have any more time. He gave him a 3-hour ultimatum. Oppenheimer seemed to agree, but an hour later he called Nichols back and said that he wanted to come to Washington and give his answer in person.
He said he would take an afternoon train and see Strauss the next morning at 9 a.m.
Leaving Peter and Tony in the care of his secretary, Verna Hobson, Robert and Kitty boarded a train at Trenton and arrived in Washington in the late afternoon. Heading over to the Marx home in Georgetown, they spent the evening huddled with Marx and Volpe, continuing to debate whether Robert should fight the charges. "He was still in the same almost despairing state of mind," Anne remembered. After hours of strategizing, the lawyers finally drafted a 1-page letter addressed to Dear Lewis. Oppenheimer strongly implied that
Strauss had encouraged him to resign.
"You put to me as a possibly desirable alternative that I request termination of my contract as a consultant to the commission, and thereby avoid an explicit consideration of the charges." Oppenheimer said he had earnestly considered this option.
"Under the circumstances," he wrote Strauss, "this course of action would mean that I accept and concur in the view that I am not fit to serve this government, that I have now served for some 12 years.
This I cannot do. If I were thus unworthy, I could hardly have served our country as I have tried, or been the director of our institute in Princeton, or have spoken, as on more than one occasion I have found myself speaking, in the name of our science and our country."